Module 10, Miscellaneous Elk Hunting Strategies. Chapter 2, Leave the Elk Calls at Home. By this point in the online course, I hope it's blindingly apparent that I like to call elk. That's the true thrill of elk hunting for me. However, there are several times, even during the rut, when calling just won't work for whatever reason. I hope that the previous modules have eliminated the insecurity some of you might have regarding the use of elk calls, but there are still some times when it makes sense to put the calls away. How then can you be effective at finding and hunting elk? In the next module, I'll discuss some of the common challenges that elk hunters face, as well as a few ideas on how to overcome those challenges. In this final chapter in this module, though, I want to focus on some options that can work well when calls simply aren't the best tactic. Stalking. I know several elk hunters who flat out don't use elk calls. They still love hunting elk during the rut with a bow, but they choose to leave the elk calls behind. Many of these hunters are plenty skilled in the calling department, but their personal hunting style favors stalking or shadowing the elk without using calls. The one benefit stalking has over calling during the rut is that you're able to get close to the elk, but never alert them to your presence or location. With calling, once you bugle or cow call to the elk, they have a very keen ability to pinpoint exactly where you are. When they come into the calls, they're looking for you. That's why having a caller back behind the shooter is so important. When you're stalking an elk, though, the elk is completely unaware of your presence and not as likely to be on guard or actively looking for you. I mentioned shadowing, and I want to explain what I'm referring to. The only real difference between stalking and shadowing is that with shadowing, you follow the elk and wait for the bull to come through a shooting lane, while stalking is simply sneaking in on stationary elk and getting close enough for a shot. If the elk are on the move, you shadow. If the elk are stationary, you stalk. As hard as it is for me to do, when elk aren't responding to calls, or even if they are responding but won't come in, sometimes the most effective thing to do is put the calls away. During the rut, wise old bulls will sometimes be less responsive to calls, especially if they've received previous pressure. Also, later in the season, after the rut, bulls are sometimes still vocal, but not as likely to come into the calls, so stalking again becomes a very viable option. Stalking and shadowing require considerable amounts of patience. There are times when a stalk will require you to remain motionless for hours on end. This can be especially trying if you're stuck out on a hot, open hillside with a bull bedded down just 60 yards away. You're too close to make any errant noise or movement, and the sun can be overbearing. The opposite extreme is also a challenge. Cold, blowing winds in the late seasons can make it difficult to sit tight for several hours. Unlike calling, where you can often get aggressive and create an opportunity, with stalking, it's important to take your time and wait for an opportunity. Similar to any elk hunting tactic, with stalking, you must first find the elk, then employ your tactic. During the rut, you can use a location bugle to get a response from a bull, especially if you're hunting in timber or thick brush. Once you pinpoint the bull's location, you can move in silently. If calls aren't a part of your repertoire at all, you'll be limited primarily to spotting. Good optics become much more critical as you scan faraway hillsides and bedding areas for elk. Additionally, if you're hunting the rut, you can often just listen for a bugling bull and then move in for a closer look and a stalk. Avoid detection. For either tactic, the first part of your approach isn't too difficult. In thick timber or brush, the elk will be relying primarily on their senses of hearing and smell to detect danger. As long as you stay fairly quiet and keep the wind in your favor, it isn't too difficult to get inside 300 yards. Out in more open country, elk will also be relying on their vision, primarily picking up on side-to-side movements. As long as you use the available cover and move towards the elk when they have their heads down, you should be able to get inside 300 or 400 yards unnoticed. It's that final stalk, closing the distance from 300 yards to inside bow range, that becomes the challenge. Once you're inside 300 yards, you need to be intimately aware of the elk senses, all of them, sight, sound, and smell. I prefer to get on the same general level as the elk, which helps regulate thermals and minimize the chances of the elk smelling you. Since the elk have no idea you're there, you can take your time and make sure the wind is right before making your final approach. By making extra efforts to get the wind in my favor, I can honestly say that most of the stalks I've blown have been due to moving at the wrong time and being seen, or by making noise, such as breaking a branch, scuffing my feet on a rock, etc. As mentioned previously, elk use their sense of vision more as a backup sense. While they are always paying attention to their nose and their hearing, they don't always focus a lot of time on scanning an area visually unless they hear something first. Always make sure you limit your movements, and never move if an elk's head is exposed to you. If you can see their head, they can likely see your movement. Time your movements when their heads aren't exposed. Move when they move, when they drop their head to drink or eat, etc. Try to keep your movements slow and move straight at the elk. If you move laterally or side to side at these close distances, you're more likely to get picked off. Be constantly watching the elk and planning your movements based upon their actions. Glance down at your feet periodically to make sure you don't rustle brush or break branches, but don't focus your attention there. And if you happen to draw their attention toward you, freeze. Any movement once they key in on your presence is a sure way to send them running. Ambush, tree stands, and ground blinds. Another tactic that requires a great deal of patience, but that can also be effective for hunting elk without calls, is the use of tree stands or ground blinds. There are some advantages and disadvantages to each method, but for the most part, they accomplish the same goal, concealing you from elk that are frequenting an area in a way that provides you with an opportunity for a shot. While it's possible to use calls from a tree stand or ground blind, I'll focus this strategy on setting them up in a way that doesn't utilize calling. If you want to add calling to your tree stand or ground blind setup, it's definitely an option. The advantage of a tree stand versus a ground blind is visibility. You can usually see better from an elevated platform than you can from ground level. And while it's possible to position a tree stand in a manner that will minimize the effects of the thermals, there are definite scent advantages to using a ground blind. It's often easier to contain your scent inside a ground blind and keep errant thermals from carrying your scent toward nearby elk. Other advantages of a ground blind are movement and mobility. Because you're mostly concealed in a ground blind, you can get away with drawing your bow and other movements that you have to be more conscientious of in a tree stand. A ground blind can also be more readily picked up and moved a couple hundred yards away if necessary, while a tree stand can be somewhat limited on the areas it can be employed. Where to set up. Outside the discussion of which method you prefer to use, both tactics are quite similar. Your goal is to set up in an area where you're confident the elk will visit, and be set up close enough to get a shot. There are three main areas to consider setting up a tree stand or ground blind: over water holes or wallows, along a well-used game trail, or over bait. Water and wallows. Elk need water, and they need it pretty much every day, sometimes multiple times per day. If you can find a good, consistent source of water, that can be a great place to set up. In areas where water is in abundance, placing a tree stand or blind over water can be less effective, as the elk may not be using that particular source on a consistent basis. However, in areas where water sources are limited, these locations can provide a lot of action. Another area to consider setting up that's similar to water is over a wallow. Bull elk will often wallow during the rut to help control their body temperatures amidst warm weather and the tiring rut activity. Bulls will often utilize a spring or water hole or use their antlers to tear up moist soil to create a cool place to lay down or roll around. Wallows can be effective mid-morning or throughout the afternoon as the midday heat drives the bulls to find a place to cool off. Game trails. Another common area to consider setting up a tree stand or ground blind is along a well-used game trail. Elk travel, sometimes several miles per day, and knowing their travel habits can be a very effective way to hunt them. Areas where several trails intersect or natural funnels like saddles in a ridge can be great places to set up to ambush an elk. Be sure to consider what the thermals are going to be doing during the time of the day that you would expect to see the most movement. If you set up above a game trail and you expect the elk to be coming by as they move from their feeding areas to their bedding areas, you might have some very unproductive sits. Baits and attractants. The last place I'll mention for the placement of a tree stand or ground blind is over bait. There are ethical and legal considerations in regards to the use of bait, but if it's legal and you're comfortable using it, bait can be a great way to attract elk to an area. Many states allow the use of minerals or salt to attract big game, and elk are especially susceptible to these attractants. Finding an area that is in close proximity to water and intersecting game trails or saddles can be a great place to place salt or other attractants. Regardless of where you choose to place a tree stand or ground blind, once you've decided on a location, game cameras can verify several key pieces of information. Primarily, you can see when elk are passing by these locations, how many elk are in the area, and the size of the elk in the area. I like to set out 4 to 6 trail cameras in different areas to get a good idea of what animals are in the area. Shortly before season, I check the cameras and then place a tree stand or ground blind in the best area or areas. Unfortunately, elk aren't always consistent in the areas they visit, and it may be several days in between when they frequent certain areas. It will often require a great deal of patience as you sit and wait for the elk to show up. Putting yourself in areas that hold higher densities of elk will provide more action. However, if you're particular about hunting a specific bull, it can be a test of patience for sure. When hunting in this manner, it's important to consider the thermals, especially during the times of the day when you're seeing the most activity. Be sure to set up on the downwind side of where the elk are most likely to approach from and recognize when the thermals shift. It may be necessary to only sit these locations during certain times of the day when the thermals are cooperating. Set up in a way that doesn't draw attention. For example, don't set a ground blind out in the middle of an open meadow and expect the elk to just readily approach it. Use natural surroundings to camouflage your setup and conceal your tree stand or ground blind. Lastly, limit your movements and noise, both in getting into your setup and while you're there. Hunting from a tree stand or ground blind is not nearly as exciting as calling or stalking, but it can be every bit as effective. It takes a lot of homework, but once you have the elk patterned and your ambush location readied, it's often just a matter of time. What kind of tree stand? There are literally hundreds of different brands and styles of tree stands on the market. The style of stand you purchase will depend upon your hunting style and the area you're hunting. To help you decide which style might work best for you, I'll discuss the pros and cons of the 3 main styles of tree stands: hang-on stands, climbing stands, and ladder stands. Hang-on tree stands. If you're looking for a spot to hang a tree stand and leave it there for the entire season, I would recommend using a hang-on tree stand. Hang-on stands are sometimes a bit more difficult to set up, but allow for more flexibility as you look for places to set them. You can literally climb up in the branches of a tree and set a hang-on stand, leaving you with more concealment and a wider selection of tree stand placements. Hang-on stands will require the use of a climbing ladder, climbing sticks, screw-in steps, or natural limbs to access the stand. In an area where there are lots of large, mature trees with thick branches and limbs, hang-on stands make an excellent option. They are also the lower-priced option of the 3, and generally weigh the least, typically around 10 to 20 pounds. Climbing tree stands. A climbing stand can be a great option for an elk hunter as they are designed to be completely portable and can usually be carried in and out of the woods with backpack straps, often included with the stand. Climbing stands allow you to stay mobile and move your stand location frequently. They also allow for immediate, simple adjustment for how high you set up in the tree or what direction you're facing. Another benefit to climbing stands is that they don't require any kind of ladders or steps to access. You simply attach it to the tree and use the stand to ascend up into the tree. The downside of climbing stands is that the tree needs to be reasonably straight and completely free of branches, and you'll be limited to the size of trees you can attach to. However, if you hunt an area that requires you to remove the stand when not in use, either because of thieves, vandals, or the law, or if you like to move around from area to area, climbing stands are a great choice. I personally use climbing stands, and for the way I use a tree stand, not frequently, staying light and fast, etc., I feel they're the best choice for me. Depending on the material and construction, climbing stands usually don't weigh much more than a hang-on stand, typically in that 12 to 25 pound range. Ladder stands. Although ladder stands are heavy and much harder to move around, they definitely have a place in the pursuit of elk. If you're planning to hunt in the same area for an extended period of time, they're much more comfortable and much more stable. Additionally, if you're looking for an option for placing a young hunter or a new hunter, or if you're afraid of heights, ladder stands are easier to climb into. Plus, there are models available that seat two hunters, which can also be useful for hunting with youth or new hunters. These types of stands typically include the ladder, platform, and seat all in one integrated package. The ladder portion is usually modular, and you can add more ladder sections to increase the height of the stand. Once the stands are set in place, they allow you to climb up and down quietly and provide a great deal of safety and security. The downside is the weight and the size, as well as the limit on height and your ability to conceal them. Non-calling options for rifle hunters. The tactics of stalking and shadowing a herd are mostly employed by bow hunters. If you're a rifle hunter, you usually end up with a shot long before you have to worry about going into full stealth mode. There are definitely pieces of those tactics that can come in handy, but for the most part, stalking is an archery elk hunting strategy. When it comes to tree stands and ground blinds, they too help a hunter get intimately close to the elk. And while they can certainly be used by a rifle hunter, again, they're primarily used by archers. When it comes to rifle hunting, there are two primary strategies that can be effective for hunting elk outside the rut. Posting up and glassing, which is a static strategy, or still hunting, which is a dynamic strategy. Posting up. Posting up is similar to hunting from a tree stand or a ground blind, except you don't use a tree stand or a ground blind. Instead, you simply set up where you have great visibility of areas where an elk is likely to appear. Then you let your optics do the work. Areas that are effective for glassing elk include open hillsides where they might be found feeding, or water holes where they might be more likely to come in for a drink. If you can find a vantage point that allows you to watch multiple areas, it can be very effective for spotting elk. If those areas are within shooting distances of your setup, it makes it really simple. If you need to move in closer for a shot once you've spotted an elk, revert back to the information in the stalking section. When you're setting up to watch a likely area, be sure to pay attention to the wind. If you're sensed being pushed toward the area you're watching, it's unlikely the elk will come out there. Elk are able to smell humans from well over half a mile away, so be sure you have the wind in your favor before you choose a location to set up. Elk are usually on the move early in the morning and later in the evening, so these are going to be the best times to devote to sitting and waiting. In this situation, your movements and noise aren't as critical, but they're still worth keeping to a minimum. Good optics are critical, and being vigilant in your watch will be important, as elk will often move through an area like a ghost. This tactic is especially effective later in the season after the rut, which often means cooler weather. Be sure to dress appropriately for long sits in unpredictable weather. Still hunting. Another method that can be effective for rifle hunting is still hunting. While the name might convey a more static approach, it's actually a blend of stalking and posting up. You basically walk very slowly through areas that you know hold elk, stopping frequently to listen or to glass. Still hunting requires more attention to your movements and noise, in addition to the continual monitoring of the wind. This can be an effective method for hunting through a bedding area in the middle of the day while the elk aren't moving. The combination of posting up and glassing in the morning and evening and still hunting during the middle of the day can be a great way to hunt elk with a rifle. Again, prior scouting and knowledge of areas that hold elk during this time of the year will increase your chances of success dramatically. Also, having a good idea of elk movements within that specific area can be key and allow you to set up in a way that capitalizes on the elk's movements. Summary. Regardless of your hunting style, weapon, or season, there are several tactics that can be used to be successful. Just being a good caller isn't usually enough to be a consistently successful elk hunter. Adding supplemental tactics to your calling can often make a big difference in your ability to call in elk. And if calls simply aren't working or just aren't your style, you can still be very effective and consistently successful. Perhaps the most important thing for every elk hunter to learn is that there is no tactic that's going to be effective every time. Being able to adapt to situations and find alternate methods to be successful will add another dimension to your hunt and to your success. Even the most successful elk hunters face multiple challenges every season. Being prepared to recognize and overcome these challenges is vital.